Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here this morning. We're glad you made a choice to be in worship today. We're so grateful for each and every one of you in your presence. Ann is off today, and we're also preparing for a stretch when she's going to have knee replacement, so there will be some on the fly shifting, I think, as we go. But we'll get our music squared away as we go. So, you got it. Okay. Justin has the music. What is it? Fairest Lord Jesus. Let's begin our worship with our call, Fairest Lord Jesus, verse 1. Let's stand as we sing. Is 57, O for a Thousand Tongues.
Precious time.
Let's take some time now to share our thanks to God and just to give words of praise to Him for all His goodness in our lives, all the things we know that He's been doing to bless and prosper us in our way this week. Mark? Becky has something to say. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Other testimonies of praise this morning. Yes, ma'am, Flo.
Praise the Lord for the outpouring of love that we've had here in our two funerals.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you didn't know, Walnut Grove sustained two heavy losses this week. Any loss of our members is important. There are people who also serve in key ways. And we lost two of those people this week to death. And I'd say in both in rather unexpected way. Oh, look at there. Where did that come from?
This is what I was for.
Are you bringing her into the pulpit? Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
A boy.
That's Camille and this is Christian.
Camille and Christian. Hey, welcome. All right. No, it's all right. Sort of keeps our perspective going, doesn't it? We managed to draw together as church family this week and support one another and send some folks along on their way. All right, Emily? Tuesday?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Didn't even hear it. I'm sorry. That was a miracle baby for sure. And all miracles, all babies are miracles. Not all miracles are babies, but you know. All right. Other praise this morning. All right. Becky?
Kind of a last minute decision, but I applied for a doctoral program and I was actually accepted. So, yeah.
A medical doctorate?
Yes.
Are you insane?
Yes. I must be.
All right. You got accepted?
I got accepted.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Okay. All right. Next will be the Dr. Becky show. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, Sean.
Last week, my coworker was involved in that fatality.
Yeah.
He's been talking to him. He didn't think he was going to be able to drive a commercial vehicle anymore, do this point. I talked to him Thursday. He was up in my office. He'd been looking up to the Lord. He's back in the truck.
Right.
He's learning to put that behind him so he can finish his career in retirement.
Great. We're going to need to continue to lift him up in prayer. Other praises. All right. Well, what are we praying about this week? Anna? Who was it? Alice?
She's coming. Mom's coming back from Kentucky today.
Oh, okay.
And Dylan's actually heading back to Virginia today. And then Dustin and Zadie are coming in tomorrow. So we have a lot of traveling.
Okay. For all who travel. Blessings for all who travel. Mike?
Jim Johnson.
Jim Johnson is down with COVID. He and his wife are quarantined in their house again for the second time this month for different reasons, so pray for them. There was a hand over here somewhere. Martha?
Tommy's not feeling well at all this morning.
Oh boy, okay. Well, let's keep Tommy in our prayers then. Others? John?
Yeah, a buddy of mine, David Pike, lost his mother this week, and he and I are getting together for our birthday dinner tomorrow and celebrate her life, and haven't seen him in 38 years.
Okay. Should be a good reunion. Kevin?
Our neighbor, Alton Stevens.
Alton? Okay. Alton Stevens. Eric?
Robin Ward. He's Eric Ward's brother that used to come here. He's got bone cancer.
Robin Ward?
Yes.
Okay. Others? Yes, ma'am.
People of Maui.
Yeah.
And the people who live in all the states where all the fires have been rampaging and
I should, I was distracted by several things this week, but there's actually a way, we have a way to support Maui and the people of Maui in recovery from their fire. Missional giving through the Global Methodist Church is a possibility for us. So if you do decide to send financial support for the recovery of Maui, you can make the check payable to the church and designate it for Maui relief. I promise you that we have a number that we can use to dedicate that directly to the relief effort. So, Jason?
Weather like this, praying for the homeless people that are just outdoors, it's brutal. We all run to our air conditioners from the car to house, and they don't have that option.
Yeah, there was someone here this morning, you know, who had surgery Friday. He had no choice but to be out looking for money for prescriptions this morning, and just how awful to be out scrounging about in this heat after surgery. So that's a multiply that times thousands. Let's just pray for all who are less fortunate. Terry?
Myra Tisdale,
your aunt?
God,
that woman breaks more bones. The Lord is merciful and heals. Pray for her this morning. All right. Well, I'm not going to call out any visitors I see with my eyes this morning. I'm just going to say, if you haven't spoken to them by the end of church, I'm going to be upset. Okay. All right. Let's now go to the Lord in prayer. I have lots to do with Him this morning. Father, it's the art of discipleship to quiet our hearts, to command by our act of will our minds into silence, to take control of our physical self and bring ourself under submission to You. We silence every suggestion of the enemy, every unclean or impure thought. We take captive every operation of our mind. We come into silence and we open to You, Lord. We thank You that opening to You by a conscious choice is like opening a flower for the sunlight. We ask You now to release the sunlight of Your presence into each heart. And for those, Lord, unruly, wild, ungoverned minds that cannot hear or see these words, we pray for them. We ask You to bring them into submission as Your people worship today. We ask You to give us such a vision of Your presence, of Yourself here, Your very self. Knowing You, Jesus is the sweetest thing in life, but it's not the easiest. Everything on your side is so easy. Everything on our side is so complicated by ourselves and our soulishness. Get us out of the way this morning so that we might just have uncomplicated presence today. Remove, God, the stain and the neglect that sin brings into our hearts. Even between spouses this morning, couples who aren't at peace with one another. The very basic unit of union you have created in the church is a husband and a wife, spouses together. Bring those into submission before your throne this morning. God, we pray for the family in our community under attack in every imaginable way. We pray for those families that have been ripped and torn asunder by violence, by sickness, by trauma of every kind. We speak your healing and peace over them, Lord. We speak your peace over this congregation and our loss this week. We ask you to help us celebrate all of the good things that brought us to this moment. Every good thing that meant this time, this era, was passing, in which a new day begins. Not that we forget those who go before, but that we honor them by making even greater strides away from yesterday into a future that you planned and know very well for us. As we approach the opportunities you give us, help us know that they are infinite. We ask that as we freely embrace the path that you guide us into, your name will be glorified in our every choice. Anoint and bless this service. Your presence is so important. I personally don't have a single Sunday to waste. I need to know, Lord, that your presence is here. I need to know that your anointing rests in this space. I need to know that you are directing your people in a concert of praise. And as we praise you, Lord, we thank you for the healing that comes in our hearts. We thank you that as we direct ourselves to your praise, the wonderful things that occur in our physical bodies. Thank you, Lord, that as we give you praise, the wonderful things that happen in the body of Christ. And for these reasons, God, I exalt you this morning. Hear us as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have just a few announcements to make this morning. First of all, the Bible study will resume on Tuesday. If you want to eat lunch with me, show up at 12. Otherwise, we'll see you at 12:30 in the Life Center. And there are other things going on as well. Or anybody need to make announcements or speak to certain things?
Is the last day to get your name in the hat and go to the Judy and myself to the Lodi Center?
What'd you say?
What's that?
I can't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll read it. Okay. This is the last day to reserve a $25 ticket for September 28th, 10 a.m. musical performance. It's in the bulletin at Logos Theater. There are other times available, but INL is taking a group specifically at that time to go for a reduced price, so be aware of that. Okay, see her afterwards if you want to go. Are there any other announcements?
Transition committee will meet tomorrow at 6.
6 o'clock in the Life Center?
Yes.
The transitional committee will meet in the Life Center at 6 o'clock. Others? Okay. I'm going to have to apologize at this point. I am moving through the thickness of a fog of grief that sort of you can't just lift or throw away, and I'm not going to pretend to set it aside. It's just difficult to lead worship and have all of that present at the same time. So just your prayers are appreciated. All right. Let's have the ushers come forward. We'll receive God's tithe and our offering. Becky just told me to do something. No, not Becky. Becky, tell me the meaning of the brown plates.
The meaning of them?
Yes. Brown plates are designated for different things at different times. Currently, if you see the brown plate come by, it will be to support our connectional giving, which is a portion of our income that we choose to support the higher church, our church organization with. And so the brown plate supports that ministry and offering, and then also our
replenishing our savings.
Replenishing our savings that we used in order to accomplish our separation. So those are the brown plates, and that should sort of be an over and above kind of giving there sometimes. Okay. All right. Who's reading our gospel?
Please stand for the reading. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the first word, the last word, the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's receive our offering at the altar. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated.
All right. And we can allow the children, if they'd like, to go to children's time or to come back in asleep. I got a text from my wife. She says, remind everyone what the brown plates are for. Whose name is Joy? Well, I want to talk to you a little bit today about the importance of knowing who Jesus is. So let's invite the work of the Holy Spirit in this time. Father, we thank you for your eternal word, the Christ. We thank you that He, God, is speaking. Your very voice is your word coming to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will bring that word home to us. Sometimes with human words, but most often just as we move with you in spirit. Bring our hearts, our spirits, our minds to the place of communion and fellowship with you over this word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll remind you that Jesus asked, yes? Oh, okay. The people say we never have anybody running our aisles. Where's the mama that allowed that to happen? I wish I could run the aisles. I want to remind you that Jesus asked his disciples what others were saying about him, and I really believe it was just in order to introduce his commentary. I'm just doing it to pick on you. I just did that to make you upset. It's all right, really. Yeah, slow down. As I was saying, Jesus introduced his subject to the disciples by asking them what others were saying about him. Of course, he knew, but he wanted to be sure that his disciples were receiving that message, that others were saying things that were almost fully correct, but not spiritually the most accurate thing that could be said. He wanted to be sure his disciples were gathering the knowledge he wanted them to have about who he was. It's very important for us today to consider this because so many of us haven't made up our minds about Jesus yet. Or if we were to ask ourselves the question today, who is Jesus to me? It would be an incomplete. Or it might not receive an answer at all. So he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said to him, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Just like these children are being born and raised into this congregation, it's been that way for eons, especially in the American church. Young boys and girls are born into a Sunday school and lessons about Jesus and vacation Bible schools and loving teachers who instruct them, trying to, you know, give them information about who Jesus is, even teaching them to love him before they can pronounce his names. You know, it's okay. And to tell them that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I grew up like that. In my experience of church, I knew that Jesus loved me and he was happy when I was good, and he was sad when I was bad, so be good for goodness sake. And, you know, the lines get a little blurry between Santa Claus and Jesus, wishing and American pie and all those things. We almost come to feel like we have an American Christianity. Then you have people living for decades in church. And because they got a baptism, or because this was their family's pew, or because everybody knows their name, that when the day comes and God calls them home, they can't call on Christ as a Savior because they didn't know him as Christ. Knowing who Jesus is the most critical part of coming, approaching faith in him. And how will people know if they are not told? If there's not a message describing who he is? The Holy Spirit is the one who saves and convicts people in their hearts. Sermons, personal witness and testimony are all instruments of God. But no person ever saved another person with the gospel. It is only shared. It is only broadcast like seeds in a field or along a path, sometimes on rocky surfaces. The Holy Spirit brings first conviction, which is sometimes mistaken as anger, or grief. And then suddenly, at just the right time, awareness of who Jesus is. This is the work of God, so that nobody can boast. But in a day when we have assumed for so long that Americans are Christians, that white equals Christian, that Anglo equals Christian, when we assume that because we post flags in the sanctuaries of every congregational gathering point in America, that somehow America has endorsed our religion and who Jesus is. And while I think we're beginning to drop it a little bit, we have assumed for a long time that children know who Jesus is. I think it's safe to say that boat left the dock. You can't assume that people know who Jesus is. That's one of my problems with church signs. We always put a nice Christian message on there. And people that don't know who Jesus is, they read it and go, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of." Jesus saves. What in the hell does that mean? It's time for us to wake up and realize it was a moment when Jesus came to his disciples because a moment had arrived for them to know. Beyond this point, they could go no further. A couple months back, Marion Finch walked down to this altar, grew up in this church, became the face and personality of this congregation. He was the guy they sent to get me when they wanted a preacher. He was the guy who told me, "Behave or we'll get rid of you. Do certain things or you're out of here." He's a good, good man. To meet him and to know he was a member of Walnut Grove Church, you would think he was the finest Christian alive. But folks, that was not true. By his own word, it was not true. And he wasn't ignorant. There was an issue. It had been made plain by Billy Graham and by every gospel teacher he'd ever heard that unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. Unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. There came a day in the fullness of years, after hundreds of vacation Bible schools and thousands of bales of hay and a million "how are you, it's good to see you, good morning." In the fullness of God's time and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Marion came to this altar. He'd knelt here who knows how many times, with sincere respect to God, out of sincere respect to Jesus Christ, knowing that much of Jesus Christ. But folks, when he stood up and declared that today he knew Jesus, there were a lot of surprised and shocked faces, weren't there? It matters to know who Jesus is. Yes. In America, Jesus has a full name. Jesus H. Christ. Like Chris B. Snellgrove. People didn't get last names in Bible times. More often, it was like Simon, who was Bar-Jonah. Bar means son of. Simon, son of John, Simon Barjona. Jesus was Yeshua, bar what, however you say, Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ernie. I'll send you money after church. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is Jesus' designation. Jesus is the Christ of God. Jesus is the judge before whom all will stand. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Simon, who do you say? I am. Boys, who do you say I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You are the one who is to come, the Savior of the world, the Deliverer, the Kinsman Redeemer. You will pay the price to redeem us out of our sins. You will save us from the bondage of hell and death forever. You are the Redeemer and the Saver of souls. Salvation is more than bending your knee at an altar. It is an existence. Salvation is more than saying a sinner's prayer. It is a confession of an inner renovation. We have done the world no favor by simplifying or having Jesus light. A Savior who has no cost associated with him is not worth anyone's time today. Folks, I'm serious. I know I'm not often. I don't have any Sundays to waste. I can barely get people in these pews on a Sunday morning as it is. I am going to run like fat men run till I tip into my grave dead. And I don't have time for religious silliness. I don't have time for pettiness. I have one message. Jesus alone saves. And he does that by your complete and unconditional surrender. You want to know why so many teenagers can't accept Christ today? Because they apply conditions to God that he will not meet. They'll say, God, if you'll just do my XYZ wish, save my mama, save my papa, do this, do that, then I'll accept you. I'll follow you if you prove yourself. And Marion's eyes fluttered under the influence of medically induced whatever it was. His body continued to function. Imagine your own body under the influence of 100% oxygen, a tubal, you know, a Becky. Thank you. Just imagine that, how long your body, your physical being, could be kept in that condition. Your mental state in park. Your electrical activity continuing, because that's how God has put our bodies together. But neither here nor anyone else, or nowhere anywhere else. To come back and be restored to health again, and to come and understand that your life and your recovery were a gift. That is a moment when you might consider whether you're the God of life or not. whether you're the arbiter of life and death. That Jesus is the Christ matters because of the presence we receive. When you sincerely give your heart to Jesus the Christ, you are rescued from the penalty of death, sin, which is death, eternal death. And you are immediately imbued with the presence of God. Now, a lot of things can happen to damage that presence, like your inattention, or your disrespect of His presence. But if you will foster that presence, He will come. And He will grow really big inside of you. And you become to places like this where the big Jesus in you merges with the big Jesus in everybody else, and you have what's called koinonia. The fellowship. The assembly. Do you know how important it is to understand the presence? You have to know the name. To say Jesus is the Christ this morning is to say that He is the King. Your King. To call Him Lord is to know your place, which is not Lord. Is complete surrender. But the presence of your King. And see, that's what people in the flesh, fleshly Christians, carnal Christians, just cannot get, is that the presence is everything in the body. You can't come in here and talk about the size of the fish you caught yesterday when we're preparing to worship the King today. We should be fostering, and there should be such an anticipation, and there should be such a waiting upon God. And that is the secret. That's what you feel when you come in this room. Because it is nurtured and prayed over. That's why there's apparent stains of oil running down these doors of their anointing. And because of the prayers that have soaked this place and the people that have had their hands on every single pew. Pray. That is the secret of Sunday morning. The presence. And now your King walks among us. As He has promised to do when how many are gathered? Two or more are gathered in His name. He is there with us. The Christ, the kinsman redeemer, rescuer, healer. Christ is your healer. Because of the fall, because of the penalty of sin, there will always be disease. There will be traumas among us. This body will cease to function. It will fail. We will need medical interventions that God has gifted us with. But there will also be moments of amazing, transcendent healing. That when the fire of God passes through our very being and we don't even know sometimes what we're being healed of. And the people who are experiencing and being a part of that presence, they are coming together in heart and they're praying because they understand that something could happen. It might not. But something really big could happen. Right, Terry? And today, your King has destroyed your death. Obliterated the pain and the victory of death. He has secured for you eternal life. He has restored you to sonship and daughterhood. He has put you in a place that you cannot be removed from, hell or high water. that you now live forever is an accomplished fact. But not just for some future heaven. The dispensationalists will have us believe that, you know, certain times in Christian history have passed. But I'll tell you one thing they can never argue down. My heaven started the day I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My eternal life began that day. I'm not waiting to die. I'm going to live my heaven now. It's going to get better as time goes on. I had some pound cake the other day. It was a little crusty around the edges. You know why? Because air was getting to it. You know what was missing? The rest of the cake. But I ate that sucker, and I want to tell you what, it tasted like pound cake. It tasted like Julia made it. I didn't have to guess what it was. I didn't have to say, oh, I'm having a poor experience of pound cake today. I was finding the crumbs. That's your heaven, folks. When you get a slice of heaven, the minute you trust Jesus, the Christ, to be your Savior, you inherited heaven and it's yours now. It's not complete. It doesn't have all the other 18 pieces, but it's heaven. When I have a slice of pound cake, I don't say, oh, that's almost pound cake. It's pound cake. However imperfect. However pitifully Christians make Jesus look. When husbands and wives don't get along. When children are beaten and abused and battered horribly. When there's sex slavery in the world and people are damaged every kind of way by trauma of every kind of imaginable thing. It never takes away the dimensionality and the fullness of heaven now. Whole millions of Christians are not living in the experience of their heaven now. They believe it's someday far away, someday yet to come. But I live in the kingdom of God every day. Every day I expect Jesus, my King, the Christ, to do something.
I'm ready for it.
Looking for it. And every day I'm surprised. Acutely amazed at His goodness. Now, I'll tell you, today in this room, you might can live without Jesus. That intimate knowledge of Him as the Christ, I cannot. You go happily on your way. You decide that you're better and more intelligent than most of the people that ever lived on this planet. But I'll tell you, I know Jesus. When Marion Finch got up from this altar that day, he finally knew Jesus as Christ. It matters to know Jesus' name. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know Him well enough to tell someone else? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll make time at the altar. Methodists have an altar feature in their church most of the time because it's a place of public attention. When a person comes to this altar, they know they're coming publicly. If they carry a burden about some deep problem, they know that there are 100 eyes looking at the back of their head. But what you may mistake about that is at least 80 of them are going to pray for you while you kneel at this altar. They're going to assist you into the presence of the King. This altar is where you can humble yourself by bending your knees, stepping off of the throne of your life, telling God that He is the ruler, that you're the humble servant. At this altar is a place to say, God, I've tried to control my life, and it's out of control. I need you to come and become the leader of my life. Some of us, we've made such a wreckage of our Christianity. You need to come, because every single day is a new day in Jesus. Whatever sin you became guilty of yesterday, Jesus already died for it. When you said, "Jesus saved me," all those years ago, He died, He took every one of those sins, and He'd already paid for them.
Hallelujah.
And no matter how new and painful it feels to you today, and you couldn't believe that you could ever sin a sin like that, and boy, it was a big one, Jesus already died for it. When He forgave you, He knew exactly what He was forgiving. Hey, little munchkins. I just preached till y'all came back. So we're going to open this altar now. But wherever it is, it's a place for complete submission. It's a place for you to come in the proper attitude. It's a place for you to come and tell Jesus who He is. Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you.
never failing, Lord of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, for the valley long, King of my shepherd is, never failing, Lord of my heart, everlasting.
Celebrate God's presence in our midst, we forget that when we go out from here, we are actually Christ bearers. So as you leave here today, God's Spirit is in you through Christ. You become Christ in the world. So let's be a little nicer than we've been, and let's be a little bit more gracious in the world than we've been. But let's always, always, always be committed to the truth. Not just some of the truth, all the truth. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is Lord. Sure, believe it. It'd be an awful quiet.